This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
President Liable, we wait for Senator Kellyanne Kramer. He is speaking, taking questions now from reporters in the Rose Garden, announcing the $8 billion pot of dollars that will be put together, part of a national emergency declaration on the threat at the border.
Very, very small amount that we're asking for. Now, go ahead. Go ahead. ABC. Not NBC. I like ABC a little bit more, not much. Come on, ABC. Not much. Pretty close.
Mr. President, what do you say to those, including some of your Republican allies, who say that you are violating the Constitution with this move and setting a bad precedent that will be abused by possibly Democratic presidents in the future? Marco Rubio.
Well, not too many people, yeah. Not too many people have said that. But the courts will determine that. Look, I expect to be sued. I shouldn't be sued. Very rarely do you get sued when you do national emergency. And then other people say, oh, if you use it for this, now what are we using it for? We've got to get rid of drugs and gangs and people. It's an invasion. We have an invasion of drugs and criminals coming into our country that we stop, but it's very hard to stop. With a wall, it would be very easy. So I think that we will be very successful in court. I think it's clear. And the people that say we create precedent, well, what do you have, 56 or a lot of times, well, that's creating precedent. And many of those are far less important than having a border. You don't have a border, you don't have a country. You know, we fight before I got here. We fight all over the world to create borders for countries. But we don't create a border for our own country. So I think what will happen is, sadly, we'll be sued, and sadly, it'll go through a process, and happily, we'll win, I think. Go ahead. Let's go. Let's hear it, NBC.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to say, when in the past, when President Obama tried to use executive action as it related to immigration, you said the whole concept of executive order, it's not the way the country's supposed to be run. You said you're supposed to go through Congress and make a deal. Will you concede that you were unable to make the deal that you had promised in the past, and that the deal you're ending up with now from Congress is less than what you could have had before a 35-day shutdown?
I went through Congress. I made a deal. I got almost $1.4 billion when I wasn't supposed to get $1. Not $1. He's not going to get $1. Well, I got $1.4 billion, but I'm not happy with it. I also got billions and billions of dollars for other things. Port of entries, lots of different things. The purchase of drug equipment, more than we were even requesting. In fact, the primary fight was on the wall. Everything else, we have so much, as I said, I don't know what to do with it. We have so much money. But on the wall, they skimped. So I did. I was successful in that sense, but I want to do it faster. I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it much faster. And I don't have to do it for the election. I've already done a lot of wall for the election, 2020. And the only reason we're up here talking about this is because of the election, because they want to try and win an election, which it looks like they're not going to be able to do. And this is one of the ways they think they can possibly win, is by obstruction and a lot of other nonsense. And I think that I just want to get it done faster. That's all. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
He is priceless. He really is. We have some highlights from this press conference that we will share throughout the remainder of the hour and the day on the news. It's the Talk Radio Town Hall this hour with Senator Kevin Kramer, a weekly event that we've been doing with him, first as congressman and now senator for, I guess, going into, what, the seventh year here. And gives you a great chance to chat with your member of Congress firsthand. Senator Kramer here every week to answer your questions. You can call us at 800-228-0550. You can text Todd, 701 226-8503. You got the text machine ready to go, Todd? Is it fired up and ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And mine, too, 701-367-2054. Senator Kevin Cramer to join us, and we'll talk first on this topic of the president's announcement today in the Rose Garden that there will be a national emergency to access $3.6 billion for a border wall. The administration laying out a plan to free up about $8 billion towards building a wall on the southern border. 3.6 of that comes to the national emergency declaration from Congress, the $1.375 billion that you passed yesterday and that he'll sign today or tomorrow. Then executive action, $600 million from Treasury in a drug forfeiture fund, $2.5 billion from the Department of Defense Drug Interdiction Program, from a national emergency declaration, about $3.6 billion from the DOD Military Construction Fund. So, what do you think of what's unraveling here, Senator Cramer?
I think it's a necessary response to an inadequate congressional response, although I give a lot of credit to our negotiators and grateful, and I think the president is as well. He's expressed his gratitude for the $1.4 billion that we were able to appropriate. But, you know, he's not only fulfilling a promise he made during the campaign, that key to his campaign and his success, by the way, but he's fulfilling a need at our border, and we're hearing it more and more, Scott, from Border Patrol agents, from the Customs and Border Protection folks, from ICE. This is a comprehensive issue. It's not a one wall issue, but a wall is key to it. So I think he's doing what he has to do. He's doing what he said he would do, and I think he's got the high ground on this. And by the way, I'm so curious about the text machine that Todd has. I'm wondering if he's got the fax machine with a full roll of paper, that wax paper. Remember that stuff?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
The thermal paper a while back. It's not a cheese.
And so when a text comes in, he forwards it to the fax machine, and then the paper with the ink that stays on your fingers all day comes off, and that's how we read them.
Yep. None of us miss that stuff.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, I have to say, Scott, I think the president is clearly, he was well prepared for this moment. And by that I mean his lawyers have been doing their legal research. I've discussed it enough with people in the White House to know that they've been working on this for several months, maybe, 8-9 months, in terms of having an ironclad legal argument. That doesn't mean that it won't be challenged, as the president said. They will be, no doubt, challenged. Although I think we ought to have somebody in North Dakota challenge the law in the North Dakota court, get a quick and favorable, common sense, order. But anyway, all of that said, the pots of money that the president has identified, what I find the most encouraging, and I'll admit that probably the biggest thing for me, the clincher for me yesterday in voting for the funding bill was his commitment to two things. One, signing it, although that's not wasn't the most fundamental point. Most fundamental was that he was going to do this, that he was going to not let that be the last word, the last $1.4 billion, but rather that he was going to exercise all the statutory and constitutional authorities and flexibilities to finish the job. And I think he's identified some good pots of money here. I'm least enthused about, frankly, the $3.6 billion in military construction, but the $2.5 billion from the Department of Defense Drug Interdiction Program, I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about a national security drug interdiction program. There's more than just drugs coming across the border, but there's a lot of them. And Scott, from everything that I've learned from Customs and Border Protection, they're only getting about maybe 6 or 7% of the illegal drugs coming across our border. So I think this constitutes a good use of those dollars, $600 million from Treasury. But I also think that, there's a lot of this drug forfeiture, this drug forfeiture fund, this $600 million. I'm on the bill. I'm a co-sponsor of Ted Cruz's Chapel bill.
How much money is that one alone?
Several billion. The problem with those funds is that some of it is already spoken for. In other words, that there are victims that are waiting for settlements. There's a lot of that sort of thing, but there's still a lot left at the end of it. And remember, El Chapo is not the only He's not the only drug kingpin. He just happens to be the biggest one. But there's a lot more that comes in from time to time, and I don't see any reason why we wouldn't specifically earmark that money for
greatness of funds. Absolutely. Yeah. Tom and Grand Forks for Senator Kramer. Go ahead.
Hey, Senator Kramer, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm glad to be back in North Dakota, by the way. I got back late last night, Scotty, after having been in Washington for the last 3-plus weeks. Actually, this is the first day I've been here since the big cold snap hit, so I'm getting a little reminder of just how much better North Dakota is than the rest of the warm country.
Well, I want to go ahead and throw out my congratulations to you in electing nominating Bill Barr as the Attorney General.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know what? There is a caveat to that.
Sure.
And that is you threw another alligator in the swamp. I want to go ahead and tell you and Congressman Hovind that your yes votes added to the problem.
Specifically, you're talking about the Barr Attorney General nomination, Tom. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, so let's let Senator Kramer address that when we come back after the break. 16 past the hour. Other calls, welcome. Give us a ring.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Joe Morkin of Castleton. We are often asked what the difference is between the North Dakota Soybean Council and the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association. The council and the association are two different organizations with one focus: to ensure the success of North Dakota soybean farmers. Both groups serve this purpose in different ways. The Soybean Council collects and invests soybean checkoff dollars in such areas as production research, producer education, and programs designed to increase demand and expand markets for soybeans and soy products. The Soybean Growers Association is a statewide, member-driven organization that focuses on state and national policy issues, which by law the checkoff cannot do. They conduct legislative activities in Bismarck and Washington to improve the profitability of their members and the entire soybean industry. For more information, visit our website at ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Move them out. That's what Vince Webker is saying about the largest hot tub inventory in the USA, over 100 2018 models right now. Great savings for you. And you know what? A lot of really neat features on those. Most importantly, the ACE saltwater system, which I translate to say ease of use, ease of care. Everything's better with ACE, right?
It is. It's not totally maintenance free, but it makes the water better. We talk about better water, makes it feel better. It is better. And because of that, you're going to use it more. And we have a whole lot of 2018. We want to move aside to make room for 2019 and come on in. We'll wheel and deal a bit this time of year. So we should have zero excuses for you not to make every day made better with a hot tub by the time you leave.
Great financing too, right?
That's right. Right now, 60 months, no interest with payments, or 12 months, no interest, no payments, which a lot of customers like after the holidays.
Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck, Minot, Devil's Lake 2, Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, online at hotspringspasandpooltables2.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Is looking for you. That's right. You a wireline engineer? You an operator? You a crane operator with the NCCCO certification? And Gold Wireline is waiting for you. Great careers awaiting you. Candidates must be 21 years of age or older, eligible to obtain a Class B driver's license, no felony convictions prior, must be able to pass drug and alcohol screening. That's part of the standard thing. But I tell you what, they hire candidates with no wireline experience sometimes that meet the qualifications and are willing to maintain the high standards of performance and customer service at Go Wireline. So GoWireline.com/careers. They're in Williston. They're in Dickinson. Tell them Scott sent you. President Trump earlier related to why he's doing what he's doing with this border situation. Roll
up. I ran on a very simple slogan, make America great again. If you're going to have drugs pouring across the border, if you're going to have human traffickers pouring across the border in areas where we have no protection, in areas where we don't have a barrier, then very hard to make America great again. But we've done a fantastic job, but we haven't been given the equipment. We haven't been given the walls. And in the bill, by the way, they didn't even fight us on most of the stuff. Ports of entry, we have so much money, we don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with all the money they're giving us. It's crazy. The only place they don't want to give us much money, $1,375,000,000. Sounds like a lot, but it's not so much, although we're putting it to much better use than it used to be. A lot of the past administrations, it was easy to get, they didn't build, or they didn't do what they could have done. It would have been great. It would have been great to have done it earlier, but I was a little new to the job, a little new to the profession.
He's so just 100% transparent, isn't he? Kevin?
His authenticity is his greatest asset. It's why people love him so much, and it's what confuses the swamp monsters so much. It's what offends so many of them, and it's not that they disagree with him, you know, policy-wise or even philosophically. In some cases, they do that as well because he's not exactly an ideologue. But it is that authenticity that so many that are professionals find offensive, and it's that very thing that people find refreshing about him.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And you know, the part he talked about towards the end, mm-hmm. you've told me before, is amazing. Where dollars are allocated, billions are sitting somewhere, and then not actually put to good use. I mean, that is a real problem in the federal government. How about him saying, "Look, we got more money than I know what to do with." He's talking about money that needs to be spent between now and September, right? Or you know, that is part of this appropriation. There's 22 some. $22 billion total.
That's
in this
right.
package,
for
but only one.
Alone.
Yeah, and he's saying minus out the 1.375, it's going to be hard to spend. Even what you know, it just seems like no way to run a railroad.
Well, there's that. I would say this that if it's spent well, frankly, if more money that's allocated for you know that's either discretionary, or more importantly for technology can make the rest of it much more efficient. For example, if you have you know. Unmanned systems of predators or global hawks flying high above that are very high tech and granular in their information they can provide. You have much better situational awareness on the ground while a drone can't capture it, not yet anyway, can't capture illegal aliens. You can see large numbers of them from miles away and you can deploy your assets then. And of course, you have, you know, you can get by with fewer people, the walls further direct that traffic to certain areas. It all working together makes the money go much further. But he's exactly right. One of my problems, Scotty, and I've been sitting now for a month on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and I've heard briefings until my eyeballs bleed practically, and reading details of stuff. And one of the things that I find that's so frustrating is that how long it takes to do the right thing in our bureaucracy. And so his lack of patience is understandable as somebody who is, as he said, is new to the profession. That's one of the great frustrations for people who want to get things done because time is money. And then you have the acquisition process that takes so long. The decision-making process takes so long. You have a whole bunch of middlemen in your own agencies. Take the Army Corps of Engineers. North Dakotans are more than slightly familiar with how inept the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is, particularly at infrastructure. infrastructure. They manage these big infrastructure projects, and they take a big chunk of the money, and then they put up all these barriers and all of these. He's frustrated and understandably so, but he can do a lot more with a lot less if we just give him the flexibility to do it. And that's what this emergency declaration is intended to do.
Let's go back to Tom and Grand Forks, who had an issue with
Barr.
About Barr.
Yeah.
And by the and Tom is still here. But Tom, I assume you hold the same concern for President Trump for nominating Mr. Barr, right? Because what Senator Hoeven and Senator Kramer are voting on is a nomination from the president. So you just think he was a bad pick, is what you're saying, right? All around.
All around, yes. All right, and I'll go ahead and state up front right now. All right, that you do not go ahead and elect or nominate a person to the highest law enforcement position in the United States that went ahead and defended two snipers who shot Randy Weaver's wife and his 14-year-old son to death. That is a travesty of justice. All right, this guy should be run out of Washington and with his tail tucked between his legs.
All right, I'm going to give Senator Kramer a chance to ask. We only have a minute to the break, so get that answer in here for you.
Sure. So first of all, to Scott's first point, he was nominated appointed by this president, and he's got impeccable credentials. The thing I worry a little bit about, and we have right now, 44, I think, federal judges that have come through now through the Judiciary Committee and are on the floor, and we're going to try to speed that process up to get those federal judges in place. And some of them have defended, in their legal practice, in their private legal practice, have defended positions that I don't agree with or that others don't agree with. But that's not how you pick a good lawyer. You want a lawyer who wins cases. You want a lawyer who knows the law well, and whether it's the top prosecutor in the country, or a federal judge, or an appellate judge, or a Supreme Court justice, for that matter. Our judicial system, our legal system, is based on innocent until proven guilty, no matter how horrible the crime is. But everybody's entitled to a lawyer, and so I think it's unfair to tie a defendant or a defender's position to his client's position. Everybody's entitled. That's what makes our judicial system work as well as it works. And I look more at, for example, I interviewed Bill Barr before I agreed to support him. I wasn't an automatic yes just because Donald Trump appointed him. I interviewed him and asked very pointed, specific questions about judicial practice, philosophy, federalism especially. And I was more than pleased with his responses.
All right, Tom, thanks. Appreciate the call. Others are waiting to go. We'll get to you coming up on the program at 800-228-0550. Two more segments to go. Questions, comments? Get those calls and texts in for Senator Kevin Kramer.
Agriculture and ethanol are one. How do we know? We ask farmers, including Paul Thomas. Paul, talk a little bit about the value you derive from ethanol.
Ethanol is what drives the value of me being able to truck my corn an extra 50, 60 miles to an ethanol plant and get a little higher price for it. But then in turn, also the DDGs that come out of that ethanol plant also go to the feedlots to provide a high protein source of feed for their cattle that's mixed with the corn. And then the ethanol itself, ends up in all our local pumps, reduces the price we pay for gas.
What happens if ethanol is no more? How would that affect you?
Removing ethanol and removing the corn in our diversified systems will just put more pressure on all the other crops we grow by increasing the supply and having a negative effect on prices on every single crop. You know, it's not just going to lower the price of corn. In all reality, it's going to lower the prices of every single commodity we grow.
Agriculture and ethanol are one. Just ask farmers. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump signing several documents in the Rose Garden this morning, one to keep the federal government open. It was going to shut down at midnight had a bipartisan agreement on border security not been reached. But because that border security deal does not include much wall funding, the president's also declared a national and humanitarian emergency along the border with Mexico, allowing him to divert $8 billion of Defense Department money to help pay for start building a wall. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warning President Trump and Republicans who support this.
I'm just saying that the Republicans should have some dismay about the door that they are opening, the threshold they are crossing.
Some Republicans also expressing opposition. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is back at work at the Supreme Court for the first time since December cancer surgery. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Difficult to complete your daily activities when your diesel truck or tractor is out of commission, right? What do you do? So you take your vehicle to where you take it to, and then it goes back for repairs. Don't bring it to the same old auto shop for repairs. Bring it to a service center that actually specializes in diesel vehicles. That's DAC Diesel, Bismarck, North Dakota. You can count on the expertise of our friend CJ and his team of mechanics to fix up your diesel vehicle in no time. He grew up in the auto repair trade. He specifically is working in diesel vehicle repairs, so 20-plus years of experience to every job, constantly learning to provide you the most efficient service. Check him out. Get the service you need for your diesel vehicle. We're talking leading repair and maintenance shop for diesel vehicles of all kinds, semi, pickup trucks, tractors, the works. Do it right. Call him at 701-258-5011 today. Or go to DACDiesel.com, 701-258-5011 today. Okay, so back on what's on your mind. And Henry in Fargo has a question for Senator Kramer. We'll get to some text, too, because we had a bunch of texts here waiting as well. Go ahead, Henry, you're up.
Good morning. Hey, here's my deal. You guys sent a budget to Trump with no wall funding at all. Then at the last 11th hour, you go put $5.7 billion in there. You pass it in the House, but the turtle won't change the 60 vote, so it's a simple majority. So here we sit. Trump's the only man in the room. Congress hasn't done anything with chain migration, hasn't done anything with lotto migration. Congress hasn't done their job for 20 years, as long as you've been in office, you and everybody else. But, yeah, the Republicans put all this on Trump. Why don't you ever support the man?
Are you asking me, Kevin Cramer, the guy who supported him, one of the earliest people in Congress, and by the way, voted for the things he just said, Congress hasn't done. Remember, the House did its job when I was in the House. Now we're in the Senate, and it's obviously a different animal. I think the one point you make that's the most relevant is that the rules of the Senate give way too much power to the minority. By the way, a power that up until recently wasn't so widely abused. It's the abuse of that power that has forced us into now looking at making new rules, changing the rules, at least for executive confirmations. Right now, there are 135 vacancies in the federal judiciary, and a lot of that's being hung up by the minority, and we're looking to change those rules. But with regard to chain migration, remember, we had a whole deal that would do all of that. End chain migration. It was, in fact, it was President Trump's four pillars. And you're right. It was some Republicans and all the Democrats that killed that bill last year, but it was the House Freedom Caucus largely that killed it because there was something in there they didn't like. So while they supported the end of chain migration, they supported an end a merit-based immigration system, supported the wall funding that was in there. They didn't want to have, what they didn't like was, of course, his generosity toward Dreamers. And so the three things they wanted weren't important enough to give the Democrats the one thing they wanted. The Democrats, on the other hand, they wanted the support for Dreamers, but they didn't want the other things. And that's what divided government gets you. Unfortunately, though, for us, we did miss the opportunity last year when the House had in front of it $25 billion. That would have been $25 billion, except that there were just some people who couldn't compromise. They couldn't give a little to get a little, and as long as that's the situation, you're just never going to get it done.
I think Henry's frustration is probably more directed at Congress and the Republicans being able to fight the swamp effectively versus, obviously, your support for the president, but, and he's not alone in that. I mean, I hear a lot of frustration in just, the same old, and all the games being able to be played and how you fight it. Henry, do you want to add something else?
Yeah, and Kevin, I'm one of the 50 guys in North Dakota paid to see Trump at the Delta, so I definitely am pro-Kramer.
Yeah.
I'm pro-Kramer, so I'm not attacking you. What I'm saying is, now Trump's the one left cleaning up the mess that Congress hasn't done in 20 years. Catch and release. All these issues have been there since I've been voting.
Right.
And nothing's been solved.
No. In fact, you go all the way back to Ronald Reagan, where some of this actually got started, and it's been a tremendous frustration. But this is why I'm supporting him today on this declaration, this national emergency declaration. As, by the way, is Mitch McConnell supporting him, because Mitch is frustrated with the minority as well and all the powers that they've been given over the course of our traditions in the Senate. And by the way, I'm just in case people are wondering if my patience is wearing out, having been in the Senate now for an entire, 6 weeks or so, I'm not shocked, but I'm still frustrated by how slowly things move. But what frustrates me the most about it is how acceptable that is to so many people. And so I share that part of the frustration, but I am grateful that today a lot of Republican senators, not all of them, mind you, because there are some purists who don't like the precedent that this sets, as though somehow 60, nearly 60 previous national emergency declarations aren't precedent enough. But I'm grateful that our leadership is supporting the president on this national emergency declaration. Here's what's going to happen, Henry, just so people know. This there's two ways that the establishment, the swamp, will try to stop this declaration. Yeah, first of all, they'll go to court. Just as he outlined, they're going to go to they probably have the judge all lined up. They probably talked about it at a cocktail party. So they're going to try to stop it at court. The other thing is that Nancy Pelosi will no doubt offer up a resolution of disapproval in the House, and they'll pass it easily. That resolution of disapproval, when it comes to the Senate, Chuck Schumer, as the minority leader, can offer it up, and it's a privileged motion. It's what's called a privileged motion. This is more swamp talk. What privileged motion means is two things. One, it is required to come to the floor. And two, it can be passed by simple majority. So a simple majority in the Senate could disapprove, much like congressional review acts. And I won't go through that whole history, but we went through it. At the beginning of this presidency, we were able to undo a lot of Obama regulations with a simple majority in the Senate through what's called congressional review acts, CRAs. Well, so this motion of disapproval, should that pass the House and then the Senate, and all it would take, as you know, would be four Republicans to join the Democrats, and that would happen, then that rule would be deemed illegal, except for one thing. It goes back to the president for a signature or a veto. And if he vetoed it, then it would take, of course, the two-thirds majority to override the veto. And that would unlikely happen. But I say all that because you're going to hear criticism from institutionalists, from swamp creatures, from squishes that say, this is unprecedented. This is a violation of presidential authority. It's not. It's in the law, and there is a check and balance with Congress through the resolution of disapproval. And so that's why I'm plenty comfortable with his declaration. Whether you agree with it or not, it's It's legal, and it'll be tested, and I'm going to stand with him on it because this is, in my view, a national emergency. When 93% of the illegal drugs coming across the country, or, well, 93% of the 100% that are being smuggled actually get through, I don't know how much more of an emergency you need than that to know when you look at the opioid crisis, the fentanyl crisis, the suicides, the human trafficking, and that's all without even talking about what it's done to lowering wages.
Henry, thanks for the call. We're going to keep moving here. I got a ton of texts, and I'm going to try to just put those all into one, basically asking on the bill that you voted for, whether you are concerned about poison pills. There's some talk of a, you know, sponsorship amnesty a deal that's a little bit troublesome that some people are talking about. I don't know if it's real or not. Another is, a veto for municipalities. In other words, they could say, hey, no, you can't build a wall here. Other people are asking if you read the bill are comfortable with some of the things we're hearing as possible poison pills in there being real or not.
Yeah, a couple of things about that. Those are great points to raise because it's why I wasn't right on it. You know, it's why I waited a long time before I was a firm yes. And even though I was leaning toward the principles of it, I wanted to read it. The good news is this: it's 1,100 pages, but only 41 of them are new. In other words, that the other 1,100 have been there for months. In fact, we voted on them last fall already. This is a part of the appropriations process that went through the Congress where the other 75% passed, right? So things like the USDA and, all the other agencies, and Homeland Security for that matter, but EPA, there's Interior, all those agencies I'd read many times and was very familiar with. So the other 41 additional pages. So just as an example, for example, municipalities or mayors and others having veto power, that's been grossly overstated, but it does have some concession in there that mayors and local officials would be consulted, that they would have input, but at the end of the day, that National Security and Border Security is a federal jurisdiction, and while they would be considered, the input of municipalities and whatnot would be considered, it's not binding, it's not a veto by any stretch. So, that was a concession, though, and it was part of the compromise. So same with the other stuff, the sponsored, what that's all about. By the way, that was a concession that the White House made, the sponsored amnesty, I think is that what you refer to it as. What that is that Homeland Security is barred from sharing information with law enforcement for people who sponsor children. So, for example, you hear about the children that they're brought across. If you're brought across by a coyote or a drug dealer or somebody like that as a child disguised as a family, remember that our law requires them to only be separated for, I think it's 20 days, right, in these ICE beds, in these detention beds, and then they have to be reunited. But if they're not going to be reunited with an abuser or sex offender or human trafficker or something like that. So they're always looking for sponsors, much like we're always looking for foster parents, for example, for children, and there's a tremendous shortage of them. There are other illegal families, people that are here illegally, that step up and are willing to take these children. But if Homeland Security shares their illegal status with law enforcement, then they can all be deported. Now, that might sound completely rational to you and me, but what the compromise that this bill does is that it doesn't allow them to share that information with ICE or with law enforcement. Law enforcement may get that information anyway and deport them, but it won't be shared by Homeland Security. So that was one of the concessions that was made in the bill.
I'm going to read a text here, and then you'll probably have to answer this on the other side of the break.
Sure.
As we are running up the clock here, it says, please ask the senator when someone is going to stand on the floor of the Senate for a day or 10 or however many it takes and filibuster anything until 535 people figure out how they need to quit spending what they don't have and adhere to a budget like the people who pay their salaries and ridiculous pensions in perspective to anything in the productive world. So a spending concern. That and a few more calls, texts, in our final segment next on What's in Your Mind with Senator Kevin Cramer.
Hi, this is Scott Hillen. I often hear from mineral owners about the difficulty of managing their minerals and knowing whether or not they're being paid properly. Now there's a solution. MineralTracker.com. Designed and built by a team of oil and gas experts in Watford City. Mineral Tracker is a one-of-a-kind technology, revolutionizing the way mineral owners are managing their oil and gas interests. Sign up for a free trial now at 833-842-2924. Visit MineralTracker.com or email info@MineralTracker.com.
Celebrate today, or any day, with North Dakota Sweet Crude, Old Man Wider's 100-year-old smokehouse moonshine recipe. The smooth, premium, unrefined liqueur is the essence of North Dakota's rugged spirit. The perfect liqueur for family traditions, toasts, friends, or to share in front of a warm, intimate fire. Treat someone you know with a special day. And every day is special with North Dakota Sweet Crude. Ask for it by name at your local off-sale or online at crudespirits.com.
Hello, I'm Randall Borkus. Want to make sure your life savings, the family farm, or business aren't lost to healthcare or nursing home costs? At Howard & Borkus Law Group, we have a solution. We've helped countless families preserve their treasured family assets for the next generation, and we can do the same for you. Howard & Borkus Law Group, number 7, 3rd Street, Minot, North Dakota. Call now, 701-852-5904, 701-852-5904, 701-852-5904.
Going once, going twice, sold, sold, sold. Have excess equipment? Don't sell yourself short. Attract buyers 100% online with our international bidders list. Sell all over the world, from your location or ours. There are no buyer's fees, and we have auction guarantees. Auction Block, equipped for success.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Mine, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. So a question from Senator Kramer, or answer rather, from Senator Kramer related to the, you know, just stay on the floor for however long it takes and until people understand, you know, $22 trillion in debt, this is stupid.
Well, and, you know, I don't know what all was literal in that, but the standing on the floor, remember, that's what filibuster used to be, right? And I think that's what he's getting at, is that people would get on the floor and talk until everybody understood this. And in other words, you hold the floor and you don't do any other business until such time as he's at 535. But even if you did it in just the Senate, you could get to, you know, 100 or 60. What I think, as he was saying this, here's what was sort of going through my mind, Scott, because I'm thinking sort of creatively like he is. Maybe what we ought to do is, this is when we ought to bring up again an amendment to the Constitution that requires a balanced budget. Because if
Amen.
We don't have an amendment, then you're always going to have this tendency, this temptation to spend more than you have, because we all have things we want that we'd like more money for, whether it's fighter jets or missile systems or border walls or, you know, food stamps or whatever the case might be. We all have things that we want, and as long as you're able to get out, apply for another credit card. But if you institutionalize the discipline in the Constitution of the United States, and that would be the perfect place to have exactly what he was talking about.
Perfect. Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
Wouldn't that
yes.
be the discussion to have?
Yeah, take it that on. Make sure it's done before the end of your first term, and you could tie it into the whole socialism thing, really. I mean, because if we don't do that, who knows where this country's going? It'll fall apart.
Really good. That's
a
great point. That's a great point. Because our fiscal policy and our budgetary policy is tied, of course, to economic policy. I like it. Let me noodle that one around a little bit. But
Jacob in Grand Forks for Senator Kevin Cramer. Go ahead.
Hi, I wanted to speak about the legendary fund. I remember when it was on the ballot, and I voted yes for it because I thought it was a good idea, but I thought it was going to be used towards maybe public school systems rather than a tourist attraction. I just feel as if that would be a better use of the accumulation of all the money being poured into that pot.
Yeah, I was on the committee that was with that, and there were some pretty, clear goals for it, but there's a reason it's called a legacy fund. I don't think it was to replace money for, okay, let's take money out of the legacy fund so we don't have to fund education as much, right? You know what I mean? It wasn't to replace other government spending. It was for, number one, making sure it wasn't spent, which is a nice thing. And, of course, this is the proceeds. But, of course, the big issue is, as he mentions, a tourist attraction. And there is an idea on the table. You're a former tourism director. I know this sort of isn't your fight. But what do you think about Governor Burgum's proposal on?
So obviously that's a state issue. But it's interesting that I'd get a question about a state legacy fund right after discussing a $22 trillion debt problem. But which is why members of Congress probably shouldn't advise the state legislature on what their spending priorities ought to be. That said, as a citizen and as a former tourism director, I think with the legacy fund, and it's my understanding, as you just said, Scott, it wasn't to replace other tax dollars. Although if it's going to, then we ought to lower everybody else's tax dollars. But if it's to stockpile money for a rainy day, or if it's to be put into things that have a direct impact on legacy, particularly conservation legacy, because it's part of, right, it's collected through mineral royalties and revenues. I think that every now and then when you have big pots of money, an opportunity comes along, and in this case, the opportunity was through, Ryan Zinke, the former Secretary of the Interior, and his affection for North Dakota, the Badlands, his affection for Theodore Roosevelt. You have the Theodore Roosevelt family, we have the Theodore Roosevelt legacy, and he was the original conservation president. The opportunity to have a very world-class library, attraction. I think it has tremendous educational opportunity. I think it does have some economic development opportunity. But more importantly, there's a leveraging or synergism here that's potential that's hard to completely ignore. Again, I'm not advising whether the priorities ought to be for a state legislature, but I do know Doug Burgum thinks big, and there's this opportunity of this pot of money that a window that's probably never going to open again, and you might want to think about, making it a priority when you have the resources to do it.
What, Mike, a library, everybody visualizes books, education.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, we have public books. What's going to be so great about a...
Yeah, it's something that really needs a lot of work and discussion, so people understand that a presidential library is not a library like your neighborhood library. that it's a tourist attraction. If people come from all over to see these. Their research is done there. Their museums. Everything about that president is. Every living president always goes to the groundbreaking and opening of a presidential library, right? So think of that. How big a deal that is. So it isn't a library, Jacob. I would just add my two cents there. Quickly tell us about your military tour next week. Where are you going?
So, yeah, as a new member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and I'm on three major subcommittees important to North Dakota, including Strategic Forces, which oversees nuclear, Emerging Threats, which oversees UAVs and space, as does, by the way, Strategic Forces oversees much of the space program. I'm going to be going to Minot with my national security team, and next week I'm going to be meeting with our Adjutant General here in Bismarck, touring the Minot Air Force Base, touring the Cavalier Air Station, which many people don't know much about. It's incredible, the Grand Forks Air Force Base, and then, of course, the Happy Hooligans 119th in Fargo, and looking at their
and that'll be important. That's Friday for our next Talk Radio Town Hall. There you go. That's a wrap, folks. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Weston. As producers, we deal with many things beyond our control. The weather, input costs, and volatile markets all create stress. That stress can take a toll on our well-being. If you're withdrawing from activities, losing sleep, or being irritable to those around you, don't go it alone. Visit with a friend, clergy member, or professional, or call First Link at 211 anytime for listening and support.
This message is brought to you by the members of the North Dakota Bankers Association and Beck Sports.
North Dakota is rich with natural resources, fertile soil, oil, coal, natural gas, and wind energy. North Dakota has a lot of it, with wind farms in 27 counties. Renewable energy is an increasingly important part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. The Public Service Commission should support wind development to move North Dakota to become energy dominant. Wind energy, good for you, our communities, our economy. Message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.